Tonight on Blackhawks Live, a new season, different faces, and the drive to win.
Jones, nice slot, fires, Patson, rebound, score! Connor Bedard, Donato to Nazar over the blue line, down the slot, he shoots, he scores! Frank Nazar on a breakaway!
Join Charlie Remiliotis as he dives into what's next for the Hawks. Here's Charlie.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live right here on 720 WGN. Charlie Remiliotis here to recap the top storylines for the Blackhawks of the week. And I got my guy, Jack Heinrich, riding shotgun with me. Jack, it is a beautiful day outside.
Oh, there it is. There's the on button. Yeah, beautiful day. We should have been on the golf course earlier.
I know. We'll get out. We'll get out at some point before the season ends. So I think next week there might be some good weather too.
There we go.
So we got a fun show planned for today. We got an Alex Vlasic interview that I talked to him earlier today after practice. Hometown guy, signed a long-term extension with the Blackhawks in April. We got a Hawks Click poll, which is up on WGNradio.com. Go vote. We'll reveal the results later on and also talk about them. We're going to talk about the Landis Slaggert extension from last week, and also a surprise NHL storyline that Jack and I will discuss. But first, Jack, I was at practice today, and the Blackhawks were working on the power play before the practice actually started. And I'm watching the power play, and the first unit goes out. No surprise, same unit. Second unit goes out there, and it's Lucas Reichel, and it's Andreas Athanasiou. And it's two guys that weren't on there the last game. Granted, there were only 20 seconds of power play time for that group last game, but I digress. And I was like, oh, Philip Kurashev's not on the ice. This is weird. He's usually on this unit. And so didn't think too much of it. I was just like, okay, they must have just want Lucas Reichel to get an opportunity there. Then practice starts, and there are two guys in the black sweaters. It is Joey Anderson, who missed the last game with an illness, and it was Philip Kurashev. And typically, the Hawks will have a designated white jersey for the scratches, but in this case, they were doing the top six guys were in red, the bottom six guys were in white. And so I saw two black jerseys, and I'm like, huh, Philip Kurashev, I think, is going to be a healthy scratch in the next game. And sure enough, a few minutes later, they were doing line rushes, and Philip Kurashev and Joey Anderson were on the bench. They did not participate in the line rushes. And I'm a little surprised by it because, you know, first off, Luke Richardson acknowledged after the game that he wants more out of Philip Kurashev. And if you look at the raw numbers, it seems understandable. He only has one assist, or he only has one goal, no assists, eight shots on goal. His ice time is significantly down from last year. It's 15:53 through six games. Last year was at 19:01. So you look at the raw numbers and you're like, okay, I think I understand it. But I didn't really get the sense that Kurashev was coming off a horrible game against Buffalo. Like, I think that the Hawks, they had the slow start, but it didn't feel like Kurashev was really weighing them down. And I actually looked at the numbers, some of the numbers, according to Natural Stat Trick, when Kurashev was on the ice at 5-on-5 against Buffalo the last game, the Hawks actually led 11-2 in shot attempts. So it wasn't a game where really his line was being skated circles around. So I'm a little surprised at the timing of it. But I think this is Luke Richardson trying to send early messages to his players that he's going to hold guys a little bit more accountable, more than he could have done last year. Because last year they were so decimated with injuries that Luke legitimately could not afford to bench players he had no one to bench. Like, or if he was going to bench someone, there was nobody respectable to kind of slot into the higher spots in the lineup. So I think more than anything, and we saw it after the first game, Craig Smith was a healthy scratch in game two because he made a turnover in the first game, and that's a veteran, a respected veteran in the league. So I think overall, this is more Luke Richardson trying to send a message to everyone and not necessarily Kurashev has been a real disappointment this season.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I was surprised just seeing everybody on Twitter. It's like, oh yeah, he's probably not going to play. And it's like, I didn't notice him last game, but I mean, that's always a good or a bad thing. But yeah, I mean, they do have a lot more veterans. I mean, Craig Smith scored two goals and he didn't play three games before that or whatever it was. So
right.
Definitely they want to win more, and maybe this can light a fire under him. And the big thing with Kurashev is, how is he without Bedard? Because he played with Bedard so much last year, and now he's had, what, four, six games without him? So we'll see. I mean, it's big for his development and the team development, too, if he can produce on his own.
Yeah, I think Luke is probably holding Kurashev to a little bit of a higher standard just because of where he's playing in the lineup. And to be fair, Kurashev is... his world this year kind of did get a little rocked, at least on the ice. Like, he's not playing with Connor Bedard anymore. He's not playing on the first power play unit. He's now moving from wing to center because no one really took hold of that second line center position. So it's not like Kurashev went into this season where things stayed the same, where he's playing on a line with Bedard. He's on the first power play unit. He's really kind of having adjust. He hasn't played center in a while, even though that's his natural position growing up. You know, when he was little and growing up in the hockey world, he played center, but he hasn't really played it in the NHL the last couple years. He's been moved to the wing. So here's the quote from Luke Richardson that I think stuck out to me the most. He said, "He's a guy to me," he's talking about Kurashev, "he's a guy that to me I've gotten used to counting on. He can't play like he did the last game for me to continue to count on him like that. I know he'll use it as a wake-up call and be better." So that's where I think Luke is kind of holding Phillip to a higher standard, where he's like, he's a guy that I can count on to score, to drive offense, and I can't use him in the second line center role if he continues to play like that. Having said that, it's not like they dropped him down in the lineup. They like took him out altogether. So it's definitely more of a message sending lineup decision more than just, you know, moving him down to the third line.
Yeah, I think it's just showing, like, I think Luke Richardson sees him as a very high level player and a top six player. And it's like, if you're not going to be doing that, I mean, his plus, I mean, plus minus is what it is, but it is minus six. And that's
sure.
I mean, through six games. I mean, I'm not a big plus minus guy or anything, but he was known for playing that full 200-foot game, too. And maybe that's something that we didn't really catch right away and they saw on film and they just thought this would be the best way to go about it. I mean, it is interesting because this is really the first year that, with Luke Richardson here, that they're trying to win more. The other 2 years was more about development, and they wouldn't come out and say they were tanking, but you looked at the lineup and they were kind of looking for the future and those good picks, but... now I think they want to win, and I guess this is sending a pretty big message early in the season. Like, you got to bring your A game every day.
For sure. And I do want to point out, I was looking this up, the Blackhawks have oddly hit 12 posts this season, posts or crossbars.
Hit a lot.
That's a lot, man. For six games, that's a lot. That's two posts per game, which is crazy. Philip Kurashev has two of those 12 posts. So he did get that chance, I remember, in the opener against Utah where he's missed a wide open net. I mean, there was a defender standing in front of him, but he was so close to, you know, bearing an open net if that defender wasn't there. And then he did hit the crossbar in one of the other games. So he has been generating chances and getting close. He just hasn't broken through yet. So we'll see how he responds. Another guy I want to get to, Lucas Reichel, thought he turned in his best game last game in a very long time. And it was one where, oddly enough, you know, Troy and I were talking about it post game. We were surprised to see that he only logged, I think it was like 7:30 something of ice time or 7:50 of ice time.
Like, not even like 2 minutes in the first period.
Yeah, he had, I think he had only three shifts in the first period. And then the second period was a terrific one for that line as a whole, with Craig Smith scoring twice and Andreas Athanasiou also part of that line. And it was interesting to see that Athanasiou was the guy that got promoted to the second line center role for Kurashev and not Reichel. I would have preferred to see Reichel get slotted there and kind of build off that confidence building game for him. Now, he was on the second power play unit, as I mentioned. He was not on that unit in the last game, which, again, Hawks only had one power play in the last game, and the second unit was only out there for 20 seconds, so he wouldn't have gotten any time there either. But I would have liked to see the Blackhawks say, oh, okay, great game by Lucas. Let's give him a little bit more. Put him in that second line center role. Let him play with Taylor Hall and Tyler Bertuzzi and let him build off that and maybe continue to get his confidence higher than it was last season and definitely higher than it's been, you know, in a long time.
Yeah, it could be like just a little reward too, even for one game. And I mean, if if Reichel hits his potential, he's going to be playing up there anyway, so you might want to give him a few chances to see what he could do. But yeah, I mean, what has he played in, like, two games? Like, that first game, you didn't really even notice him. This game, he made an impact. So, I mean, that's what you're looking for. I mean, he's such an interesting player because he has that big upside, but they just haven't figured out how to unlock it consistently. So hopefully he can figure that out in the bottom. But yeah, maybe they'll get some power play chances. I don't know. They like to keep that top unit out there so long. So it'll be interesting to see how much he gets.
Right. And to be clear, too, it's the Blackhawks have done everything they've could to
multiple things.
Try to get him going. I think last year, where they tried him at center, then they put him at wing, then they tried him on Bedard's line, then they put him on the top power play unit.
They scratched him a few times.
Yeah, it was like they tried everything. So at some point, the Blackhawks have to say, hey, Lucas, you got to come earn it and take that role. We're not going to really. But I think this would have been an opportunity to, if you were going to take Kurashev out of the lineup, you know, might as well slot Reichel in that second line center role and say, hey, Reichel, here's an opportunity. You're coming off a great game. Let's see you try to build on it, and we'll throw you on the second power play unit as well. So we'll see how that plays out on Tuesday against Vancouver. Let's take a break. We got much more to get to on Blackhawks Live, including an interview with Alex Vlasic later on in the show. Stick with us right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romeliotis here. Jack Heinrich with me as well, riding shotgun here in our downtown WGN radio studio. Let's get to our Hawks Click poll that we've put out there on social media and on WGNradio.com, inspired by the Blackhawks' hot power play through six games. Will the Blackhawks finish the season in the top half of the league in power play percentage? We threw that out there for a fan vote. We have 67% said yes, 33% said no. So I think you look at the percentage now, the Blackhawks are, they've gotten off to a hot start. They're sixth in the NHL right now, 5-17 with a percentage of 29.4. Last year, they were 28th in the league at 16.6%. So definitely a huge disparity. I think I was saying before the season, if the Blackhawks can just get just to the middle of the pack, like in between the 21-22%, I think that will go a long way, because there were a lot of games last season where, outside of being Connor Bedard or bust offensively at even strength, the power play also went through him and, oddly enough, Philip Kurashev as well. And so we've seen the Blackhawks start to have some more success in that department. In large part, Seth Jones is shooting the puck a lot more from the point. Those quick wristers, not really massive clappers from the point, just kind of getting shots through. But we're also seeing, you know, probably the main reason is Connor Bedard and Teuvo Teravainen. They have this really strong chemistry going on so far, and it's been evident in the first six games.
Yeah, I mean, that first game, Bedard had the no look to Teravainen, and then they get to Foligno. Yeah, I think they will finish in the top 16. Probably more in the backer half of that top pack, I think. I don't think they'll stay at the top for that long. It'd be nice, but you just see the additions with Bedard, and he's got someone, like you said, Teravainen. Is just, they both see the ice so well together, and they got that chemistry so quick, and that's what you want to see with someone that they brought in for the next few years. So I think it will be better. Hopefully they stay healthier so it's more consistent, because last year when the injuries got there, I mean, it was just, I think everybody was on the power play last year, it seemed yeah. like at some point. So hopefully they can stay healthier and they can build some more consistent power play time, and they can, I mean, that's when you want to make your, I don't know, like the big advantage. Like right. when you have that advantage, and that's when a lot of the players get the points. So that's when Bedard should be piling up his points too.
there was a point last year when they had like however it was four or five forwards on injured reserve.
Yeah.
There was a time where the second unit looked like a penalty kill unit.
Yeah.
Because like all these poor fourth liners are just like, hey, we need someone, you got to step in there.
They have two defensemen on it too.
Yeah, they did.
I think they did, yeah.
And it wasn't ideal too, because it was two defensemen that are like penalty killers, you know? So it's, but yeah. And I like to kind of dig into the process stats a little too, like see what the underlying numbers are saying, because it's easy to look at the raw numbers and think, wow, the Blackhawks are fourth in power play percentage, but how much of that is luck and how much of that is actually...
Can they keep it sustainable?
Exactly. Yeah. And it actually has been sustainable through six games. Natural Stat Trick, again, shout out to that website. Their expected goals on the power play per 60 minutes is 10.68. That ranks fourth among all teams in the NHL. So if that number was like lower and the Hawks were, you know, 15 or 20th ranked, then that would have indicated that the Blackhawks are getting a little bit of luck there, and it's not necessarily the process is good, but they're generating chances. Tyler Bertuzzi is slowly starting to mm-hmm. find his form. He scored that power play goal against San Jose. It was his first point of the season. And also, he had that chance against Buffalo the other night where, I mean, it's a wide open net, and it's just the puck just randomly popped over his stick. And if he buries that, we're looking at another power play goal for the Blackhawks. And so that was probably like an expected goal right there on its own for sure. So there have been, you know, quite a bit. It's been an impressive showing by the power play. It hasn't just felt like luck.
Yeah, and they've been getting into the zone entries a lot better. Last year, they just had so much trouble even setting up the power play. This year, they're getting some shots off and getting in the zone and in the offensive zone. So it's been good, and they've been leaving Bedard and the top unit out there for a while, too, so that helps leaving your big guys out there, too. So that's been the thing I've noticed, is they're actually getting shots, because last year in the power play, I remember I'd be like listening to John and Troy, and they'd be like, did they get any shots there? And they're like, no, they didn't get any. So at least they're getting shots on it this year.
For sure. All right, let's take another break. We got Blackhawks defenseman Alex Vlasic joining us next. Fun interview I did with him after practice earlier today. You're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis here. Earlier today, I caught up with Blackhawks defenseman Alex Vlasic, who signed a long-term extension with his hometown team earlier in April. First off, Alex, how was your summer? Good to be back in the swing of things?
Yeah, my summer was good. It was feels long in the moment, and then all of a sudden, like, September kind of rolls around, and you're like, well, like, where'd the summer go? And then, but yeah, I feel like it can get kind of long and monotonous, just doing the same thing over and over again. You're kind of looking forward to seeing the boys and having more of the guys at the rink and all the fun that comes along with the season.
You spent mostly the summer here in Chicago as a Chicago area kid. Are there any fun things that you did, though, over the summer to get away?
A couple vacations here and there. I went to Hilton Head with my family. Went to Nova Scotia. We have a cottage in Nova Scotia, so it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, right on the beach. It's a really good spot, kind of nice to just unplug and get away from city living and stuff like that. But yeah, that was about it. Nothing crazy. So, but yeah, I was around here for most of the summer and just kind of coming to fifth third and doing my thing.
I remember last year we were, during the exit interviews, we were asking about your contract situation, right? Feels like, what was it, like a week or two later that it got ironed out? How freeing was that for you to be able to go into the summer knowing that you're kind of locked in here in the long term?
Yeah, it was definitely nice to kind of have that security and that, yeah, I guess comfort knowing that, you know, I had a spot on the team kind of coming in and that, you know, I didn't necessarily have to worry about, the whole contract situation, everything that comes along with it. It can kind of be stressful, especially when you're dealing with it like throughout the season and you're kind of worried about, you know, little things in your play, like every, you know, is this going to affect my contract, all that stuff. So it's nice to kind of have that out of the way and now I can just focus on hockey.
Was that a kind of a pinch me moment as a guy that's grown up here in the area? You know, the history of the franchise, three Stanley Cups, I'm sure you were watching as a fan, and now to be able to kind of envision yourself as maybe part of that next Blackhawks core, is that kind of like, does that sink in?
Honestly, not really. I feel like it's, I don't know, I feel like it hasn't too much for me, maybe my family, but I feel like for me, when I came from college and I came to the Hawks and played in Rockford, played here, like it was just kind of like me taking it like year by year. And I never really looked like the big picture. Like, I feel like if you told me when I was like 16 that I would be, you know, that I would sign a long-term contract with the Hawks, I'd be kind of completely shocked and just like, that's so sick. But I feel like now it's just, since it's kind of like what I've been like living for so long now, or at least what it feels like, it's just kind of my everyday life. But yeah, I mean, I definitely don't take it for granted. I mean, it's so nice to be able to go home and see my family whenever I want and have my friends and all that, like come to my games and stuff, and I'll go and see them or go to dinner and be just so close to all the people that I grew up with. It's unbelievable.
Kyle Davidson hadn't given out a long-term contract before you yet. Like, he was very protective over the cap space. Is that kind of rewarding to see that he's already made that decision that, like, he wants you here for the long term?
For sure. I feel like it makes me feel wanted. It makes me feel like, you know, they see me, like you said, as part of the future. And with so many, you know, good players coming up through the pipeline, obviously Bedzie, and you got the young guys in college, Frankie and the AA, Korch and all those guys. So it's an exciting core that's kind of coming through the team right now and the organization. And yeah, hopefully I can continue to be part of it.
Do you feel any pressure now that you've have this long-term commitment locked up, or does it kind of give you some motivation? Like, how do you weigh that in your head?
I think it's a little bit of both. I feel like I have a lot of pressure on myself that I do, like, by my own doing. I just feel I'm always pretty competitive, and when I don't have a good game or don't make a good play, I get, you know, I'm hard on myself, and I'm making sure that doesn't happen too frequently. So I feel like a lot of the pressure I have is forced up upon myself. But yeah, there's definitely, I feel like you kind of hear the whole overpaid, underpaid thing. Obviously, when you're an entry-level contract player, it doesn't really apply to you. It's just kind of like, you know, you are what you are. And so as soon as you kind of sign that big deal, it's like everybody's going to just hold you to that standard of what that kind of money is. And there's definitely pressure that comes with that. And I feel like, yeah, I don't want to be the guy that's getting called overpaid or anything like that. So, yeah, I feel like there is some pressure from the outside for sure. But I think it's all good things. It's an honor and a privilege to kind of feel like people say pressure is a privilege. So, yeah, I'm fortunate to kind of have that going for me.
Your growth with the Blackhawks has been impressive to watch, because it feels like when you got drafted, you were kind of pegged as like this shutdown guy, big, you know, but you have offensive upside to your game. And we saw it in Rockford when you were there playing in all situations. Do you feel like there's a higher ceiling for you? Like, I guess I should say, are you surprised by your ceiling or like your growth, or did you always know that was kind of in there for you?
I feel like, yeah, growing up, like, when I was younger, I was definitely more of an offensive player. Like, even when I was a defenseman, like U16 year, I feel like more so known for like my offense almost. And so then I feel like I always kind of had it in me. And then going to the program and going to BU, you kind of, you know, if you're not the number one offensive guy, you're obviously not going to get those looks. You're not going to get the power play. And that's the situation that I was put in, was, you know, like, we already had guys that were, you know, better than me at those things. So I kind of fell into that, yeah, defensive steady role. And I felt like I always kind of had the offensive abilities kind of tucked away and used them when I could. But yeah, I feel like now, you know, more so this year than last, I'm starting to push it a little bit more offensively and try to like unlock that part of my game, because I'm still pretty young, and I feel like I'm just getting more and more comfortable with being in the NHL and playing against these players and what I can get away with and what I can't.
But that was my next question, was going to be, what area are you looking to kind of take the next step? Is it channeling more, or is it unlocking more of that offensive potential? Is it more in your own zone? The cliche answer is obviously all areas, but is there one specifically?
Yeah, I think, I mean, kind of, yeah, to give you the short answer, yeah, the offensive side of the game, I think, for me is where I do want to take the next step. I think obviously my defensive game is what I'm going to be known for first and foremost, and that's what I have to be the best at. But I think that there is some opportunity for me to showcase, you know, even if it's just some offense at the blue line with shooting, you know, getting a harder shot and getting pucks in the net. I feel like this year I've had a little bit more, you know, more emphasis in my game, just putting pucks in the net and hopefully creating some chances off that. You know, I'm not expecting to really like dance guys at the point and pull any McCars or Quinn Hughes out there. But yeah, just any way I can kind of contribute offensively at the blue line, then that's my goal.
How do you feel about the team's overall performance through six games?
I like it. I think it's, you know, it's a lot better than last year. I think we kind of can see that, just we're so close in all these games. I mean, even Buffalo, they beat us, but we outshot them, you know, almost like 40-20. So I feel like, you know, Buffalo, a team like them last year, they would have kind of outplayed us the majority of the game. And it felt like that was the other way around for us two nights ago. So obviously, I think, you know, Fliggy's been putting a big emphasis just on, you know, no moral victories, which he's right, and it sucks we're not getting the wins. But I mean, we're definitely heading in the right direction. I feel like guys are playing the right way and doing the right things, which is nice to see.
I feel like if you eliminate that first period in Utah,
Like every period, you guys have really been battling, competing, maybe not like dominating or fully controlling, but it seems like there aren't those lulls that there were last year. Is that a positive step in the right direction in the grand scheme of things?
100%. Yeah, I think it's even just for your moral, I guess not, that's not the word I'm looking for, but you're just like your mental sake. Like it's tough when you're playing a good team and, you know, you got back-to-back periods where you're just getting smoked and they're just in your D zone and you're not able to get the puck out. And so I feel like even if you're able to kind of just get the play 50-50, you know, tie up in shots, it's a good feeling kind of coming in the locker room if you can get the period under control. And that's what we've been doing this year so far.
Last one. Do you feel like you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel where you're starting to be more competitive as a team? The young guys are starting to come over. Like, are you starting to kind of be like, okay, we're starting to, the trajectory is starting to go upward here?
Yep, 100%. I think, you know, through these six games where a lot of the guys are showing what they're capable of, and obviously, you know, the new pickups, Turbo, Teravine, and he's been great for us, and he's had some good chemistry with Bedzie. So, I mean, Bedzie looks great this year, even better than last year. So he's continuing to get better, hopefully. You know, people are saying the same about me, but I feel good. I feel like, yeah, the young guys are contributing. Rikes had a great game, and the older guys are as well. So it's nice to see everybody kind of gelling and getting together.
Big thanks to Alex Vlasic for joining us. Oh, he's probably one of my favorite guys to interview in the Blackhawks locker room. Really, really down to earth and always gracious with his time. We have one more break to get to here on Blackhawks Live. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis here. Got Jack Heinrich with me as well. Let's get to a little Blackhawks prospects update. Landon Slaggart on Friday signed a 2-year extension with the Blackhawks at a cap hit of $200,000. This is currently the last year of his contract, his entry-level contract, which is $912,500 cap hit. So he was set to become a restricted free agent next summer. So this extension basically ties him to the Blackhawks through the 26-27 season. So this year and the next 2 years, so basically 3 years, Slaggart is locked in for a really respectable cap hit. He made a solid impression with the Blackhawks last season. He appeared in 16 games. He had 4 points in those 16 games, 1 goal, 3 assists, averaged 11:15 of ice time. And he did it while also juggling trying to finish school his senior year at Notre Dame to get his degree. So there were times where he was on the road and trying to finish homework and all that stuff. So he had a strong impression. I think the noteworthy thing to me here, Jack, about this extension is it is a one-way contract. Now, I've had some people reach out to me asking what's the difference between a one-way and a two-way contract, because back then in the pre-lockout era, a one-way contract was if you were on a one-way contract, you needed to go through waivers to be sent to the minors. Mm-hmm. And a two-way contract was you can go up and down minor NHL, minors NHL, and you didn't need waivers. And so after this kind of got put into the CBA a while ago, but now a one-way and two-way contract, if you're on a one-way contract, you're getting paid an NHL salary, whether you're in the minors or in the NHL. And a two-way contract is you get an NHL salary if you're in the NHL, and you get an AHL type salary if you're down in the minors, which is typically around, you know, whatever, for an entry-level contract, it's maybe like $80,000 a year versus like a huge, you know, whatever, $912,000. So it's a big jump. So the fact that the Blackhawks gave him a one-way contract in this 2-year extension,
right,
makes me feel the Blackhawks organization is kind of looking down the line thinking, we think you're going to be a valuable piece to us in our bottom six, and we've seen enough of you to know that, or we feel comfortable giving you a one-way contract because you might be part of the, I don't want to say the future, like long-term future, because I think that will play itself out.
The near future.
Yeah, the next 3 years, he will have a chance to play in the bottom six consistently and then prove that he can be a potential longer-term piece in that role.
Yeah, he came out, when he came up last year, he played well, and then he's gone down the rock for this year, and he's got a couple points in 3 games. So, he's that guy that, I mean, he's got a great attitude. I mean, talking with him in the locker room, he's just a goofy guy and seems like a good locker room guy. So, it's nice that it's someone they've drafted and developed, I guess, kind of, because he's at Notre Dame for 4 years. But he's now been in their building for the last, I don't know, eight-ish months, and they've really liked what they've seen. So it's good to have somebody like him that they can have some flexibility with and in the lineup in Rockford and keep him around in the NHL too.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's playing in more of a top six role with Rockford right now, and that's not really going to be his role in the NHL. Like he's going to carve out more of a bottom six guy. Right. He could be maybe a guy that could jump into the middle six, like maybe second or third line on occasion, maybe as a spot start here and there if you're looking for a little spark. But I don't expect him to be in that role long term in the NHL. He's more of a grinder type player, really hard forechecker, penalty killer as well. So he does have a little bit of an offensive ceiling with the numbers that he put up at Notre Dame. He finished his senior season with a career high 20 goals and 31 points. So he has a respectable offensive ceiling, but I wouldn't expect him to play in that kind of role in the NHL where he's playing top six. It's going to be more of a bottom six. So it's nice to see Slager get rewarded with that extension. It's also a little noteworthy too, because he wasn't drafted originally by this regime. So it would have been easy for the Blackhawks to, you know, say, hey, we want to bring in our own guys. We want to, you know, make sure we're filling out this roster with speed and guys that we've invested in. But I think Slaggart has played his way into the conversation where the organization is impressed by him, and they're saying, yeah, it was only 16 games with the Blackhawks, but it was enough to give him a 2-year low risk extension and it being a one way.
Yeah, and he can prove himself too. So you're keeping him in the building. And yeah, I mean, like you said, that's a big testament to like the kind of impact he's made in this short time with the people that haven't drafted him. That's always the, when there's new GMs and stuff, that's always the thing, like who's going to carry over with this guy and that. And you look at the Bears, I think they have like six guys from the old regime.
So right.
Like
clean house.
Yeah. So you look here, Slager's done a good job making a name for himself with this one.
Definitely. All right. Let's wrap up the show with the top NHL storyline of the week, at least that I've been monitoring, and it's a surprise one. And it's actually the Blackhawks' next opponent after Tuesday's matchup against Vancouver. The Nashville Predators are 0-5 to start the season. It's the longest losing streak to start their season in franchise history. I think previously their high was a three-game losing streak. I'm honestly not sure anyone really saw this coming, because they had a really busy summer of signing Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault. They had Brady Shea on the back end. And so you thought, okay, I think they also signed UC Saros to a long-term extension. Yep. So this has been
going all in on roster.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, okay, this team is going to take the next step, and they are winless and they are fighting for their playoff lives very early, because once you dig this big of a hole, it's really hard to come back from it. So I'm curious to see if they're going to turn this around soon.
Yeah, I mean, and they're playing Boston tomorrow before they come here too, so they very well could be coming into Chicago 0-6. So that it's surprised to actually look back to see all the signings they made, because I remember John was talking about it on the broadcast a little bit, and yeah, they kind of pushed all their chips in, and this is not the start you want, not even a point either in the five games. So it's a tough start for them.
Yeah, and they only have 10 goals in the five games, so it's fewest in the NHL. They have been a little bit unlucky on the power play, so I think that will have a correction coming. Their shooting and save percentage combined is .893 at 5-on-5. Typically, you want that number to 100, so I think a regression is also coming in a good way for them. So we'll see if they can turn it around, but hopefully it comes after Chicago, at least if you're a Nashville fan. All right, that's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. Thanks for hanging with us. Blackhawks versus Canucks on Tuesday at the United Center. We'll have the pregame show at 6:45 right here on 720 WGN. We'll talk to you then.